Time for another Stain Gang podcast as we talk Midwestern State football with the head football coach at Midwestern State, Bill Maskell. I'm Pete Stein. Be sure to tell your friends about the Stain Gang podcast and be sure to be with us Saturday night on the Lone Star Conference Digital Network as Midwestern State takes on West Texas A&M in Canyon. Kickoff at 7 o'clock in the Lone Star Conference opener, and we'll get more into that game. But I do want to reflect back on last Saturday, the home opener, a nice win. You really dominated the fourth quarter in that game. Where did you see the most improvement from week one to week two?
Well, I think we eliminated a lot of mental errors. We still had some, but we were in double digits several positions last week, and we probably cut those in half. You know, I think our effort was good in the first game. I think it was better in the second game. Thought we ran the ball well. I thought defense defended well, except for the 95-yard run.
After that 95-yard run, though, they really dominated the game. They only gave up 5 yards in the next three drives combined.
Yeah.
Did they just get riled up, or had you figured out Mississippi College at that point?
No, you know, in the second half, there were six possessions, and one of them was a 95-yard run, and one of them was the last possession of the – but four of the last five possessions, there was three and out.
Right.
And, you know, I just think that the defense really outplayed the offense, the Mississippi College's offense. And we were aggressive. We were attacking, and we were disruptive, and you know, they weren't going to throw the ball much until they put the other quarterback in. And, you know, the one time that they did hit a long run, we were in – I actually called a timeout to talk about it and felt like we could cover them man-to-man. And but we put a blitz on, and we didn't get to them. And they get through a good ball, and we were within his body but not – bodied up, if you will. I mean, we were close, but perfect pass and no pressure, and we were beat. And that was probably their biggest, outside of that 95-yard run, that was probably their best gain of the day.
I think that was a 35-yard pass completion they had on their scoring drive, yeah. Was it the defensive front that was dominating the game for you, or – was it just good tackling?
I think that we were aggressive with both the linebackers and with the front. And, you know, Caleb Manning practiced. I mean, nobody could block him a week ago, and they didn't block him Saturday, but that's exactly the way he practiced. And when you practice that way, you're going to, you know, pretty much statistics say that you're going to play that same type of game, and that's what he did. And, you know, I think he's pretty motivated. You know, his first year he's really, really played. He didn't play a whole lot last year. He played some, but not a lot. And he is strong, and he is quick, and he's determined. But I think when you are disruptive with the wishbone and you throw off the timing and, you know, we played fairly disciplined assignment, which we had to, because if you take the quarterback and you're supposed to have the dive or vice versa, or the pitch instead of the quarterback, then somebody's going to get turned loose. And so I think that coaches did a good job of scheming on our part, and then our players executed the scheme.
You had Jalen March and Devin Cross, who both ran extremely well. I think Devin had over 150 yards rushing. Jalen was over 120 yards running. Obviously, that means the offensive line's doing well. Do you keep using two running backs? Are you comfortable with that?
Well, yeah, I think we've got to use more than two. Those guys are not particularly Cross. I mean, he's 5'8", 170, dripping wet. March is probably 180, 85 maybe, 5'9". I mean, that's a good size back, but you know, I don't know exactly what the number of carries, but they carried the load. And
absolutely.
Jackson didn't get many touches, and neither did Ash. But, you know, I think you gotta be able to play more than one back at any level. I mean, you look at the NFL, and they're not playing one back. I mean, that guy can stand to get hit about 20 times a game, and that's, you know, depending on how he's hit and where, what part of his body, and it's just going to wear on you. And as the season rolls along, that guy's body's going to wear out, and that's why the NFL backs don't last very long.
Yeah, that's right. No, there's no doubt about that. That's why they draft them, and after their first contract, they're happy to let them go. But you're making a great point, because one of the things we talked about during the game is how tough Devin Cross is. And he's taking big hits, and he's getting back up. But your point is well taken. As we get deeper in the season, it's going to get harder and harder for him to get up after those big
hits.
Well,
I think that Cross, you got a different – both those guys have different styles. I mean, March is not a dot, dash, step, jump, where Cross is probably a tad quicker, but not as strong or physical. So they complement each other very well, because here you are getting a guy that's running downhill and slashing and then cutting, and now all of a sudden you get a guy that's like a jackrabbit out there, mm-hmm. and trying to catch him. It's you know, they don't necessarily get great licks on Cross, because he's jetting, he's darting, he's jumping.
Well, it looks like he's bouncing off tackles from upstairs.
Yeah,
now.
Well, he has a knack of being able to stop and start really quick, and sometimes the first hit isn't a clean hit.
But correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're basically running the same plays no matter who's in the backfield.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter their style, it's the same play, but what they do with it is a little bit different.
Exactly, exactly. And then I think that becomes more challenging for the defense. At least last year, we complimented Cross with Peyton Shaw, who was more like March, maybe not as strong as March, but kind of the slashing strong runner. And Ash is a little bit bigger back that
he seems more like a 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy. Is that an unfair assessment on my part?
Yeah, I mean, you know, but you don't see him much. He doesn't get as many reps as the other guys, and we didn't bring him to camp early on because of his shoulder, and he wasn't cleared, and there was a little miscommunication on his part and our part, and he's in shape and he knows the plays, and he probably needs to spell those guys a little bit. I mean, those two guys are the number one guys. And but again, you've got you get a long run, or you get pass protection. I mean, there's all kinds of small intricacies that go into it, and Ash is most capable of filling that role.
That brings us to the question that most fans are most curious about right now, and that's the quarterback position. How did you evaluate the quarterback play last week, and what do you do going forward at quarterback?
Well, I think our quarterback play is youthful, a little inconsistent. It's almost like they're trying to make a play. They don't have to make a play. They just got to do what they're coached to do and read their keys, and their keys will take them to the open man. And, you know, maybe the offense is a little bit shell-shocked because we've had turnovers in the first two games, and we told them, you know, everybody that we're playing this year is going to look at that, and they're going to say, hey, these guys aren't going to protect the football. Let's go ahead and get after them. And the quarterbacks have, I guess, just one has thrown three interceptions, I think, in two games. And you know, that's that. And you know, coming out of the end zone and they get the pick six. That's, you know, that really affects the outcome. So, and then the second interception was you know, bounced off Jackson's chest. And
you can't blame the quarterback on that one, right?
Well, he could probably take a little off of it, you know. I mean, they weren't but here that wall away. I mean, 10 yards max, and he was going downhill when he was throwing it, and it was right there. It was a dart. And you know, our quarterbacks have just got to understand that they don't have to win the game. They just have to play within themselves. And when they figure that out, all of them are capable of being better. But it's almost like they're trying to please and prove that they can do all of this. And you almost got to take baby steps along the way to get this fixed, to get the next problem. We have to throw the ball better. There's no doubt about that. I mean, we can't line up and we rushed, 200, almost 300 yards and 50 carries. And we had, 73 plays maybe. So we had 23 passes. We've got to be able to throw the ball better. And, you know, we manufactured two touchdown passes. First drive, you know, I thought we executed that play extremely well. And we got a guy wide, nobody touched him. Nobody was within 15, 20 yards of him. And then the next to last score of the game, we kept running the ball. And then finally we, you know, did the same action and then threw the ball over the middle. And, you know, we had good protection and we had had a good throw and a good catch. And we just got to do more of that.
You expect to take the same approach at quarterback against West Texas?
Well, we've told the quarterbacks that that we're going to determine who's going to start going into the game. We haven't made that decision as of yet. But, you know, based upon what we've done, you're most likely going to see two quarterbacks. Now, how we do it, we haven't worked through all that as we speak. But, you know, they all three do something well. It's just they've got to do more of it well instead of inconsistencies, I guess you would say.
You mentioned that opening drive. Was that a scripted drive?
Yeah. When scripts happen, you are scripting for a normal down and distance. So if it's second down and 12 and your script says this, well, that's not a normal down. So you could get off script. First down, yeah, the first downs are all are you know, those are regular plays. Second and 7 or 6 are going to be a regular play. Third and 3 or 4 is going to be a regular play. But the minute that you get off track, then you get off script and you go by situation.
This is a West Texas team that's also playing a freshman quarterback. What do you see from West Texas? It looks like they're a defensive-oriented team. They certainly played well defensively against Adams State last week.
I think that's the strength of their team. They've the veteran linebacker in the middle, Cavender, that's you know, was, I think, linebacker of the year 2 years ago. He's a very instinctive, downhill, tough defender. They got another linebacker, 44, that they brought in from Kearney. They exchanged their front. They play a lot of guys up front.
Which helps keep them fresh,
yep,
right?
Yep. They play a lot of linebackers. Secondary is probably a little bit more stable. But they're physical, and their scheme is nothing that we haven't seen, but they do enough odd things that you know, that maybe out of alignments, I should say, that we might have not practiced much about in the past. But, you know, we've got to be able to run the ball, and then we've got to be able to throw it when we need to throw it. And I think West Texas is probably in a similar situation offensively. The quarterback is a true freshman from a small town. He's a big kid. He's got a good arm. I think he's got a good feel for the game. You know, he was scrambling, and there was a running back or a receiver in front of him. He just tossed the ball at him as he was running. He scrambles when he can't find anybody, and then he does find somebody. I'm impressed with him for, you know, coming from a small school that you probably don't see a lot of coverages and a lot of fronts, and I think he's adapted well. But he's a freshman, and he's probably making the same kind of mistakes that our quarterbacks are making. But I think he's, you know, improved. Just watching him play, I think he's improved.
Do you try to confuse him? Do you try to show him something maybe he hasn't seen?
I think we've got to do what we do. You know, that's all good to try to confuse, and we do that anyway. But, you know, we've got to get lined up, and we've got to make adjustments based on their formations and their motions. And sometimes you, based on what defense and coverage you're playing, you end up showing your hand a little bit because of whatever you're doing, and sometimes you don't. It just depends on what you've got called and what they've got called and where you have to be to execute your assignment. So sometimes when you try to do something that you haven't done on either side of the ball, you know, you become a little bit uncertain, and then all of a sudden, you know, you don't make the play. So I think that for us to get better on both sides of the ball, we've got to be able to execute what we've been doing, and just get better at it, and get more plays out of it. Because there's, you know, I go back to a week ago. You know, we take away all those turnovers, and we're right in the game. I mean, I still don't feel any differently on that.
West Texas has been a tough place for us the last four times Midwestern State's been there. West Texas has come away with the victory. Is there anything particular about West Texas that makes it a tough stop on the LSC schedule?
You know, I don't know that. They've always been a rival game.
They get fired up to play Midwestern State.
Yeah, and we should be fired up to play them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the last time that we played them up there, what was that in?
It was two years ago.
So what is 23-21?
I believe we had a turnover late in that game.
Well, that was the game.
The quarterback going in.
That was.
I remember that right?
We fumbled the ball on the 1 yard line going in.
Yeah.
And we were up 12-0.
And that sparked their comeback.
Yeah,
that's right.
And then they score. I think they went down and scored, and then we held them the next drive, and they may not have scored on that drive, but they didn't because they had to go 99 yards, but they punted it. That's what happened. Is they punted it, and our kid caught it, and our corner that was covering their gunner, the wide receiver down, ran into our punter in midfield, knocked the ball out. They recovered it, went down and scored.
That's right.
And then they came back the next series, and now it's 12-7, and they come back the next series and get a touchdown and a two-pointer. Up to that point, that was in third quarter, because we were ahead at halftime 12-0 and playing very well. Then they had an injury in there somewhere that probably sparked them a little bit, and then we didn't get in the end zone, you know. So I think that, you know, turnovers are key. Turnovers, you know, explosive plays are a key. Field position is a key. You know, I think Saturday that we didn't talk about after the game was our punter flipped the field. Like I think he had two or three inside the 20 and a couple 50
yards. He's
been
pretty good at him and the opponent inside the 20.
You know, he gets better every week. And, of course, we've only had him for a month. And, you know, based on scouting him out of junior college, we felt like he had a strong leg. But I think he's getting better and better with what he does. And, you know, but that was a big factor in the defense being effective is that now they've got to go. There was two or three times the ball was inside the 10-yard line. And so they got to go 90 yards. Well, the chances of doing that are 3%, according to statistics. And even again on sudden change, when we fumbled the ball going in on the, or coming out on the 12-yard line, our defense held them to a field goal, which is, you know, that's hard to do when you're inside the 10-yard line or 12-yard line. So, you know, there's some things that we've got to get better on both sides of the ball in the kicking game. Our kickoff coverage wasn't great. Our punt return team wasn't great. Field goal team, we'd screwed up on that. So I would say I'd give us probably a C-minus D in our kicking game. And, you know, we've got to get better in that because if you're not playing well or having a hard time on the two other sides of the ball, if you're able to make some plays in the kicking game, that can be – and they've got a good return game. Their kickoff return guy, number one, is very a little guy, but he's quick and he's not afraid. And he puts it up in there, and he's averaging 20 yards on punt returns. So that's two first downs. So we've got to do a good job of covering kickoffs and on punts.
Special teams might play a big role in this game against West Texas.
Yeah, if we play well, yeah. You know, I mean, if we do what we're supposed to and capable of, you know, we can be good. But if we jump out of our lane or we get held up at the line of scrimmage on the punt return or you know, they do a pretty good job on their kickoff return, and they hold up pretty good on their punt return. So we've got our work cut out for us on both of those.
Physically, you think you match up with West Texas pretty well?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think the strength of their team is their defense. You know, they've got – and they roll a lot of bodies in there. I mean, they've got 49 and 21 or two outside backers that are physical and – 39 is a 6'4", 240-pound end on the other side, and they got two tackles inside that they keep rotating. They brought a big kid from Kearney with them, and I don't even know. I haven't seen him much in the second game, at all. But he's like 335 pounds. I mean, he's huge, tall, 6'5", 6'6", and takes up a double team, and I don't think he played much this last game. Probably a little bit out of shape, but you know, they're strong. But again, we've got to execute. That's part of the game, is knowing what to do, when to do it, and then going and doing it.
It sounds like they're going to be fresh in the fourth quarter, but I know one thing you pride yourself is that Midwestern State is going to be the fittest team on the field.
Well, I think we're in shape. I think we're – I mean, we went through practice today, and we did a lot of running, and we ran at the end of practice, and we weren't winded. You know, now I think that of all that heat that we had, when we were drained, and all of a sudden we get two cloudy days – you know, I mean, we've practiced a little bit different these last
I was going to ask you if it was refreshing to be out of that 108-degree heat.
I don't know what the temperature is out there, but
low 80s, high 70s.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a little humid today, but we can't really complain.
80s anywhere else is probably warm. 80s here, compared to what we've been in, is really cool. So.
Really relief. Coach, I appreciate your time. Thanks so much for doing the podcast, and we'll see you Saturday night in Canyon. Right. That's Bill Maskell, the head football coach at Midwestern State University. Don't forget kickoff 7 o'clock Saturday night on Lone Star Conference Digital Network as Midwestern State visits West Texas. I'm Pete Stein. Thanks for listening to the Stain Gang podcast, and tell your friends.